Welcome to our final podcast of the season. Crittenden County in its opening round of the Class 2A playoffs lost to Owensboro Catholic for the second straight season. This time 50-7 was the final score. Coach Starnes, in just last 2 years, we just haven't been able to give them much of a contest, have we?
You know, Chris, this game was basically indicative of what the season's been like. And, you know, I don't think that I've really been disappointed with the kids. Their play up to the first half of the Owensboro Catholic game. And I was disappointed because I just felt like that we were playing passive. And we just weren't playing with the aggression that I thought that we'd played throughout the season. Make no mistake. I mean, I know we were outmatched. I understand the talent level and the experience and all that stuff and the depth and the quality of football program. But, you know, I was just disappointed with the intensity and the effort that I thought we didn't give in the first half. In saying that, we had a talk with them in the halftime, and I just felt like the second half was a better half for us, even though I know that they did put their youngsters in later on. But, you know, I just felt like that we came out and we played a little bit harder in the second half. But, you know, as I told the kids after the game, you know, we've had to go through a lot this year, and it started at the very beginning, you know, when we were having a lot of kids that were quitting and we had to move positions and things like that. And I just felt like, you know, Owensboro Catholic, it was on me. I didn't have the kids ready to play in the first half. So it was my fault.
You know, it's difficult to have that last week as a bye week. You know, you've got that final momentum for the finals and the playoffs. And then you've got this break. We've lost the last four games going in by substantial margins. Then have to go on the road a long way and play Owensboro Catholic, which is a pretty good football team.
Yeah, you know, I think it could work both ways. I think there are some situations where you have a week off to heal and to prepare. I think that's not a bad situation. But, you know, it is what it is. And we weren't going to play anybody, the week 10, simply just to play somebody and get our head spanked, the people that really wanted to play us. But I put that on KHSAA. I think the scheduling grid that they have is ridiculous because I think that you're supposed to be able to play your best play the last five games of your season in order to get, you know, you prepare for your district games the first half, and you're supposed to be able to play your best games the second half. That's the whole concept of leaving your district play the last five games because you're supposed to be playing better. And KHSAA's scheduling grid doesn't allow us to play a district game week 10. So, therefore, that game is simply for naught. It's for nothing. I mean, you take Mayfield in Caldwell County playing week 10. You got two number one teams playing week 10. For what reason? Yeah. Just for bragging rights. You take a chance of getting somebody hurt as opposed to using week 10 for possibly a district championship game. That's what it should be like. And I think that's, you know, that's on KHSA. We really need to look at that and address it.
Yeah, I agree. Coach Wheeler, this was a tough game to prepare for. I know another good quarterback, Houston Hart, and he had a good game against us last year, threw for 200 yards, this time 375, and we just we couldn't keep up with the receivers because they were open.
No, it was definitely frustrating, and you know, I thought we took as much advantage of the bye week as we could, and it seemed like in practice our kids were being aggressive, but it was night and day difference of the way they were in practice the last week on the bye week as they were in the first half. I mean, in practice, we'd almost have to calm them down, you know, due to them being so aggressive and they were jamming receivers. And then in the game, the first half, it was really embarrassing for me, especially with the DBs, to realize that they were just standing there and their receivers were going by. And don't get me wrong, they had great receivers, but, you know, sometimes you just have to realize that you just have to get in front of them and jam their routes just a little bit. We weren't doing that at all. When you don't do that and they have great receivers with a great quarterback, they're going to get open, and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. Of course, our seniors, I think, had a pretty good game for their final. They really seemed like they knew it was their last game. Zach Tinsley had a lot of tackles, four solos and five assists, and Brendan Phillips, three solos, three assists, and The other guys, Cody Caraway, I think had a pretty good game. It's hard to tell. He plays center, so it's hard to get a good read on him. He don't show up in the statistics, but all the guys. Who am I leaving out? There's
You have Micah Holloman, kicker, and then Travis Gilbert, who was hurt, and you have Daniel Wagner. The seniors, and it was very emotional as it is at the end of every season for those seniors that. You know, basically realizes it's the last time that they're going to put on a Crittenden County helmet, and you know, it's very emotional, and it was Friday night as well. You know, several of these guys, and I think all of these seniors are 4-year seniors that they put a lot of hard work and a lot of effort into this program, and it's sad to see it end. And you know, you got some of them that has basically been playing for 11 years for Crittenden County, and it's sad to see it come to an end. But, you know, I mean, it just moves on to the next chapter of their lives, and that's what it's all about. We've been doing this for 23 years now, and, you know, we have a next group coming in, and they'll go the same way. And, you know, you just got to turn that page and check it off the list, and it's a great high school memories that you have through football, and that's what I think that we have. The past few years since we moved up to 2A, I don't think it'd been great years for the program, but I think there's a lot of memories, camaraderie, and a lot of teamwork and relationships that were built throughout these years, and you know, for that we're going to miss these guys.
You know. After the game, I went straight up to the press box to do the post-game show with the radio guys because Andy Hunt wasn't there to do the stats. And I thought about hanging around on the field for a minute, you know, because it's always an emotional time because Brendan Phillips, of course, I watched his dad play his final game and Travis Gilbert, his dad, play his final game. But, you know, I kind of get choked up at things like that. So I thought, I better just go on up here and do the video stats.
You know, and we all get emotional. Yeah. I mean, we do. I mean, you know, you take these kids, you watch them grow through Little League, you watch them play in the Little League and all the way through, and now they're seniors and they're finished. And it is emotional because it's something that they work hard at. It's something that they have pride in. And, you know, and that's what this group did. You know, we didn't have the most successful season in terms of winning, but we had the most successful season that we had in terms of relationships and the things that they're going to learn throughout life. And, you know, and it's a great opportunity for us to teach those things, and we were able to do that this year.
You know, I really felt – my heart goes out to Michael Holloman, who worked hard for the last few years, and then he gets here to his senior year. And, you know, no fault of his own, he don't get on the field much, you know, because he's got a strong leg and he's really a scoring threat. And just
you know, we were hoping that and I talked to Micah beforehand, and I just knew that he was going to be able to get the school record because he's worked so hard and he has a leg. And, you know, his dad works him harder than I've ever seen any kicking coach work anybody. And, you know, so – you know, it's very emotional for him not to be able to do that. I know he wanted to, and it just didn't work out that way. But again, it's a teaching moment that things don't work out the way that you want them to all the time, and you can't quit. You just got to keep on. And he was, you know, he was excited as anybody to be able to play on this team, and not this team, but I mean, he's in the band, he's in the chess, and you know, he's a great kid. And you know, I have to say that I remember talking to him at church. And first mentioning to him that we'd like him to kick for us. And, you know, he was a youngster at that time. And now he's a senior, and watch him grow. He's a tremendous person as well.
Yeah. It's, like I said, he was on the field two times in the last five games, or three times in the last five games, because he kicked a field goal. So and he did work hard, definitely worked hard at it. And I'll say his dad did a good job with him. I asked him if he was going to stay on as the kicking coach now, and he said no, he's going to turn that over to somebody else. So
he doesn't realize it, but he's probably going to be on the field since he's starting with somebody else and Dylan Hicks. He's got Dylan Hicks out there coaching now, so he's not going to ban him. I talked to him yesterday in church and kind of joked with him, but he and Micah, I think, are going to help Dylan out.
That'd be great. That's great because that's a powerful tool that you've got there to know you got it. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the 4-team playoff system. I glanced through the scores after Friday night, And there was one game that was decided by 1 point, and maybe three or four others that were within two touchdowns, and the rest of them were blowouts.
They're blowouts. Generally, they're going to be blowouts. You know, you take a one team versus a four team. You know, every once in a while, you're going to have a district that has three or four teams that are very strong, and I think that we've had that before. But very seldom are you going to take a one team versus a four seed and expect to get a good game out of it. It's just a precursor for, you know, what they're going to face later on, maybe a one and a two seed. You know, I'm not in favor of the four team playoff system simply for that right there. It did us absolutely nothing to go to Owensboro and get our heads beat in like that. It's more, I think, demoralizing to the kids than it is rewarding for them to play one more game. So I think it also, you know, when there's a four-team district like we have, you know, it doesn't give you anything to shoot for. I mean, you want to be able to fight for something and earn that right to go to the playoff. And having a four-team, we didn't earn the right. We did not earn the right to go to playoff. And I think that that's something that is taken out of the coach's hands by having a four-team playoff system. But you know, according to KHSAA, there was a poll and a vote, and according to them, the majority of the coaches, principals, ADs, schools, or whatever, they like the four team, and they're not going to change.
Coach Wheeler, going to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think a lot of that goes back to 4 or 5 years ago when Paducah Tillman was a four seed, and they went on to win a state championship, so everybody kind of hangs their hat, you know, on that stat that a four seed did end up winning. But that was – you know, exceptional team that just went in a tough district and didn't do anything. I'd say get rid of the Week 10 because, you know, especially having the bye and stuff, and take the top three and let the first seed have a bye for the first round of the playoffs if you're going to do anything. But I'm sure there's pros and cons to that. But, I mean, Coach Starnes, right, it didn't do us any good at all, you know, for that. And, you know, I know you talk to a lot of other people in other states, and when you tell them, well, we made the playoffs my whole 4 years of high school, they think it's a big, wow, that's awesome. But, mm-hmm. you know, realistically, if there's only four teams in there, you didn't accomplish anything. You know, it's not like in Texas where they have 10 teams in their district and four go.
So does this linger through the off season?
You know, I think it could. I don't necessarily know that it will with us. I think it just depends on how the coaching staff approaches it. And we'll be very positive and you know, we use it to motivate that we need to improve and get better. But more importantly, I think what I would be in favor of, Chris, is, you know, we're in a state where we have a heat index because we start so early. They add us a week zero that we can play football. So, you know, what I would be more of a proponent for is to drop the four-man, go back to a two-man to open up 2 weeks at the beginning of the front end of it so you don't have your playoff system last longer so you can start 2 weeks later. That's what I would rather do instead of, you know, trying to go earlier and getting a number of practices in before you can scrimmage. And because you can scrimmage a week earlier since you're practicing, I mean, you have a game a week earlier, so we keep moving it on the front end of it, and we really need to move it on the back end of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Playoff games instead of five for a state championship.
You hear the old timers talk about, you know, they always played their they didn't have a playoff system way back, and it was just a bowl game. You would play your rival on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And well, here we are, Butler and Marion high on that
yeah,
day.
Wasn't
that
times,
big game?
Yeah. Or Madisonville, I think they played some. And, but that goes way back, and we're here now, and our seniors are gone, and we only have a class of three juniors. Noah Dickerson, our quarterback, and Lane Wallace and Nicholas Greenwell are only juniors coming back. Of course, Lane Wallace is all WKC.
Lane Wallace, we found out that Lane Wallace was voted all WKC, and you know, he's the only one that was voted on our team for all WKC, which I think is the lowest number that we've had in many, many years. But you know, we're proud of Lane and his accomplishments and what he did, and was able to get some notices from other coaches in the way that it ran the football. But, you know, I tell you, I'm proud of all these guys. I think we have a good group of seniors that led the team as well as they could possibly lead the team. We've had, Zach had to move his position from running back to line, and, you know, I think he had an outstanding season, and so we're proud of him for that. And I hate for Travis Gilbert, who was coming around throwing the football, and he ended up getting hurt, and hope we, you know, wish him well for his baseball and basketball, and I hate it for him. But you know, that's the same lesson that we always teach, that you play every down like it's your last, because you don't know if it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we never knew midway through the season we'd be without Travis Gilbert the rest of the way. So Okay, well, we'll wrap things up. Any other final comments, Coach Wheeler?
I don't know. I mean, just typically every week when we come in for a game, we mark off the board and our next opponent. And then this Friday we came in and erased the board and went to look at our senior class. We're going to help them, you know, get in the colleges of their choice and help them in their, life and their career choices as much as we can. And looked at the next few classes, the juniors, sophomores, freshmen, and incoming eighth graders to see what we can do for weightlifting. We look like we're going to have about 20 every day in it. Don't have too many people going on to basketball. When baseball comes around, we will have some for that. But, only thing we can do is be positive and in the offseason get a whole lot better, because we are still young. And when it comes down to it, we do have a very good group of young men that I think is going to be successful people in life.
Coach Darnes, I know this has been a difficult season for you, the health issues that you faced and your wife, and I know it's hard to keep a football team together when you got those things going on, and we all wish you and Angela both the very best. I know she's going to have surgery this week, and we hope and pray everything turns out for her as well as it's turned out seemingly for you.
Yeah, and Chris, we just have to say from the Starnes family, we appreciate the outpour of support from the community and everyone that has given us support. And, football communities also showed their support. And, what Caldwell did for us was, very, very – it was such an act of kindness that I don't believe I've ever witnessed before that, touched us. And also have to thank the coaching staff, because without them and what they had to go through this year because of the absence of us, we appreciate it. And we have good coaches, and they just stepped up and said, whatever we have to do, we'll do. And they did, and I thank them for that.
Okay, well, until next year, 2014 is just around the corner, and this may be our last year in Class 2A. I know the fans, that's what I've probably heard more from the fans this year than anything, is when can we go back to Class A? So maybe during reclassification we'll get some good news next year, and this will be our last year in 2A. All right, guys, well, we've enjoyed it, and we appreciate all of our blog sponsors. This year, please go by and support those guys.
Thanks. Yeah, we appreciate the work that you do, Chris, and the support that you give us as well as the sponsors and the blog spots. So we thank you and the press and all that you do for us as well.